We just finished talking to our state rep, so I guess the first thing that, probably impacts every city in Texas, College Station included, was the fracking issue over in Austin. They've decided they kind of want to have oversight of fracking issues. How has that impacted your city as far as you can tell?
Well, we just went through a revision of our ordinance. That was about an eight-month process. That I learned more about fracking and the oil and gas industry than certainly that I knew before. But we are troubled a little bit by the language. Cities in the bill, according to the bill, are not allowed to do anything that's commercially unreasonable. It says that the regulations are we're prohibited from doing anything that's commercially unreasonable. I don't know what that is. I have some concerns about that, and you know whether that opens municipalities in Texas up to lawsuits, liability there. We are concerned about that. We believe our regulations are commercially reasonable, of course. And it took us 8 months to reach that. We had an expert help us with that ordinance, and we had the testimony of people on both sides of the issue. So we're happy with the ordinance. We just don't know if it's going to be tested because of the recent passage of the bill.
Well, this is a split council, too. I mean, they're not necessarily happy. This ended up being a form of compromise here. I think there's certainly members of that council that would applaud something more stringent than what you have at this time.
I think you're right. You know, I think the opposite is true as well. So you're right. This is a compromise bill. There were people that wanted, there were people in the community that wanted to effectively do what Denton did and ban fracking. There were certainly people that own mineral rights that wanted to have more leeway to recover those minerals. So you're right. As with most legislation, this was a compromise.
Sure. House Bill 3629, this is basically expanding the scope of hot funds for Bryan and College Station,
yes.
How that money could be spent. I'm not sure where it is in the Senate, but presuming that that does take effect, of course, you have spoken to the fact that some of that funding for College Station would pay overtime for peace officers and other individuals for game situations at A&M. But where else do you see that that money could be utilized?
It's the idea behind the bill is not to redirect large portions of hotel occupancy tax funds. It's really, again, just as you described, it's for overtime for policemen, firemen. We deploy a lot of public works folks on game day weekends for Contraflow, for Welburn, for different issues like that. We deploy a lot of people during these game day weekends. There are also other events, 7-on-7, where we have particular traffic issues at Veterans Park, things like that. So really, in a nutshell, it is for staff overtime. It's for the deployment of certain equipment. We have to station fire trucks on the A&M campus during games because we fear we will not be able to make it through traffic. And we provide all fire protection for Texas A&M University. So there are a lot of things. It's paying the overtime for those firemen. And just because I think reasonably the legislature did not foresee a community like College Station where we could seat our entire city's population inside of one venue, this being Kyle Field. So we attract a lot of people. Two, we have the phenomenon now of people coming to College Station not to get in the stadium but to tailgate. So we're attracting more than just the population of the stadium. It's beyond that. So it's very interesting. Again, it's not an effort to redirect large portions of that, but really to be able to make the general fund whole.
Well, but you can take some of those funds and maybe improve the quality of life of the residents here.
Yes.
Is there some scenario in your mind where you get with your counterparts in Bryan to make sure that fields and other facilities are available that would be able to bring larger tournaments in here?
Oh,
and
yes,
then that helps?
No, and that's a bit of a different effort there where the flexibility to pay overtime and what have you is not permitted within the legislation currently. So that's one issue. There's also a bill that would allow cities to be able to implement parks with hotel occupancy tax funds. Right now, you're only able to supplement existing parks. I know Bryan is interested in that. We've worked with Bryan to put this legislation together. John Rainey has been a sponsor of that bill. He's been a real champion of that. And again, it's Bryan and College Station are a little unusual in the amount of hotel occupancy tax funds that we have, and the fact that we cannot use that for streets, roads, police, fire trucks, police cars. We can't use it for any of those general fund expenditures. So if we're able to construct parks with them, then it offsets those general fund expenditures where we would otherwise have to do that out of the general fund. So that effort would provide us that with that flexibility as well. So then other funds, other existing general fund dollars can be used to buy fire trucks and pay for police cars and policemen and firemen, public works folks like that. So and again, John Rainey has been a sponsor of that legislation and has been a great help in that regard.
We spoke to him today about texting. If that does become law, obviously you have a former chief as one of your assistants now, and you have a new chief of police. And so my concern is enforcement. If that becomes the law where they ban texting, have you talked to those folks, and what are their thoughts?
I have. We've watched that legislation, and implementation is our concern as well, Scott. We've all seen it. We've all seen, you know, you pull up next to somebody, they're driving down Texas Avenue, the bypass, and they're looking at their phone, which is a bit troubling. But enforcement of that does have some challenges. I mean, the police officer will have to be will have to witness that. But, you know, if we want police records, we have to subpoena those. So it's we'll have to look at the legislation, assuming it finally passes, and then develop a policy for how that's going to be enforced. But it's not as easy as I think some people think, where the bill passes and you immediately go into enforcement. It's going to be a little more complicated than that.
Kelly Templin, the city manager of College Station, joining me. Police doing their jobs. Somebody my age, I see that happen. Okay, I want to see, I'm observing that. Somebody your age might pull out their phone
yes.
to decide to record it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody the student's age at A&M almost assuredly will pull their phone out to record
That's
it. That's
correct.
Basically policing the police.
Yes.
What kind of discussions have you had about that?
That is a nationwide phenomenon, and it that has more troubling aspects when you see people, three or four people following a police officer around in other communities. This has happened in the Metroplex rather recently. Folks are welcome to do that. They have the right to do that. And I don't think our department has anything to hide here. So if you want to film the police officers, knock yourself out. They do a fine job here. And heck, we're considering we're going to implement body cameras here. So we're going to be recording that as well. So if you want to duplicate those efforts, you're welcome to do so. Again, most of what between dash cams and radios and what have you, most of what College Station police officers do is documented in any case. And more often than not, that evidence really substantiates, what we have to enforce in court. So I don't really have any issues with it. I think the effort in many cases is overkill. Our police officers are not bad people. But if you want to record what they do, again, I really don't have an issue with that.
Talked to John Rainey again today about something I never thought I'd discuss with him, and that's legalization of marijuana in some form here in Texas. There's a culture in college-age students
sure.
that is different.
Sure.
It's different than when I was in college or you were in college. I'm not talking decriminalization here, but at some point, have there been discussions about small amounts of marijuana, and is it policed in any different way, and what do you do necessarily when you have a bunch of students together a la Northgate, not trying to say it only happens there
sure.
or does happen there, but policing in that when it comes to that?
It's you're right, Scott, the culture has changed. I resent the inference that I'm that old.
I'm older, so there you go.
Back when I was in college. Yeah. No, but you're right. Gosh, it's, I showed up over 30 years. 33 years to be a freshman here, but it has changed. It has changed, and we haven't spent a lot of time talking about this and about the potential of the change in the law. Anytime that changes incrementally, it poses enforcement issues where this is legal but this isn't. So somebody may have a prescription, they may not. But again, assuming that passes, I'm not sure what the likelihood of that passage is. We'll take a very hard look at that. But I have talked to our narcotics officers, and they firmly believe it's a gateway. You start there, and you kind of move up the drug food chain. Oftentimes, I'm not saying that happens across the board, but they have concerns about it. That's never been a part of my culture, but you're right. It is prevalent amongst college communities, and we'll take a look at it. It's not a great concern.
Okay. This is the first time you've been in since your city council passed a special area within Northgate, and then there'll be one on Jones Butler Road, where 6 bedrooms will be within a structure. I got deep concerns about parking. I really do. It bothers me a lot. But explain to me where you injected yourself into that so that I can understand what the city manager's job was, per in your view, as to putting together a situation where we're going to have six unrelateds living in one place.
Yeah, that's, you talk about a change in culture. That's very interesting. And I've worked in different places. I've worked in different states, and I've worked in college towns in those different states. And very interesting here that in Texas, we have a greater personal distance than, you know, folks in the Northeast and in perhaps in the Midwest. And it's very interesting, when I was in Oxford, Ohio, you know, gosh, they'd put 18 people in a house, which I thought was crazy. You know, I can't think of 17 other people I want to live with.
Yeah.
And I thought the same thing. I'm trying to think of five roommates that I, you know, I'm dying to have here. But a lot of this has to do with the economics of the situation. The housing market has changed. The college housing market has changed. I've witnessed a lot of that. Getting ready to visit my friends in Auburn, where I worked for 6 years, and they're talking about the same thing, where they've seen the cost of college tuition skyrocket, what have you. And although we have a relatively well-heeled student body, we've got a lot of kids that struggle to pay the rent as well. They're good kids, they're just not wealthy. So they're looking at other options, including having 3, 4, and 5 roommates. The idea behind this is to be able to, we want to house students as close as we can to the campus, to address traffic issues and nuisance issues and a lot of other things. And so we're watching the market morph. We're listening to what the developers are telling us, but also trying to address the needs of the university. I didn't inject myself heavily into that argument because I've got a staff that follows it more closely than I do, and I think did an excellent job of that. It's, the idea is not to increase the density of the project, so you're not increasing the amount of parking or the amount of resulting trips and traffic. It's just a different arrangement of the units. And again, I don't quite understand it because I don't want to have 5 roommates. I don't have 3 roommates, to tell you the truth, but we're hearing this, and it's not just a college station phenomenon. It's happening at a lot of places.
But it's in Texas, I believe it's different. Culturally, guys who wear Wranglers and cowboy boots are not going to want to walk. Hey, let's walk over to the whatever, or let's all pile into everybody's, truck. They're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. If they grew up on 3 acres, 7 miles outside of town, they don't ride with anybody else.
I agree.
You're asking for a cultural change, and I know that they did this with the best ideas in mind, but we are asking these kids to change a culture, and I'm just afraid 5 years from now we're going to say, well, this didn't work.
Well, I'd say, you are right to a point. If you look at the student body of Texas A&M, it's becoming more and more urban. So you're right. We're still getting kids from Edna and Columbus and what have you that have grown up on the farm and what have you. But I think it's getting more urban. And again, this is what we're seeing, again, with people trying to cohabitate in a lot of these houses. It has a lot to do with the fact that I paid $4 an hour for tuition. And I'm paying that tuition now for my son. I can guarantee it's not
it's more than that
grand
yeah.
hour anymore. So, yeah, as well-heeled as our student body is, there are people that are struggling to pay those bills and make it through A&M. I think that's part of the situation. And the fact that the student body has changed, it's more of an urban student body. They didn't grow up with 5 roommates at home, certainly, but it's more suburban than it has been in the past.
Kelly Teplin joined us this morning. I'm not trying to focus on negative. This is a dynamic community. It's fantastic in the way that it goes. I'm a little concerned about the number of signs I see, though, that there's some empty real estate out there as far as commercial is concerned. And I know that you want to be very, very careful as best you can to make sure that this does not end up being a situation where we're overbuilt in some areas.
That's very interesting. The number of inquiries that we receive for retail, for restaurants, for manufacturing, for industry is probably at an all-time high. So there's a lot of interest from a lot of franchises here that you would recognize, that you see on your commute into Houston or Dallas or Austin. So they're following the numbers, they're following the population, they're following that disposable income that the students have and the relative affluence of the community. So I think we do have some vacant real estate. There's no doubt about that. But again, I think what folks are looking for, we do have some deficits with regard to office space and what have you. So I think the commercial real estate market is changing a little bit in that regard. And a lot of these franchises are having difficulty locating in proximity to the university or what have you because of the lack of that real estate where they feel they need it. So you're right, we have some deficits, but we're getting a lot of attention right now.
Let me transition into the bond issue. my concern has continued to be that College Station does need some sort of a governmental facility that's expanded beyond what you have now. Mm-hmm. There have been a lot of ideas on the table as to what you would do with the existing facility. Where are we now with what might happen there?
Well, the Capital Advisory Committee has completed their work. They'll be presenting that to Council on the 28th of May. And they've looked at facilities across the board, and transportation and parks. And the needs are there, and they're glaring. Transportation needs are very glaring, and everybody sees that every day. Our facilities needs are sort of pronounced. We need a fire station on the west side, particularly in the south. We don't really suffer from the access or fire trucks being able to access that, but we've got to get an ambulance down there. So there's discussion of that. The highest prioritized need wasn't a city hall, actually. It was a police station. It's kind of interesting when you look at our cities in the area. You know, you've got Conroe, a city of 75,000 with a 75,000 square foot police station. We're a community of 103,000 with a 28,000 square foot police facility. And we're talking about the storage of gear and whether we should start doing that in the hallways of police stations. So we do have some deficits there. We've had tremendous rain, and so we've got lots of leaks in City Hall. And
oh, my.
So, yeah, the fans are going up and down the hallways to dry the carpet right now. And that's we've had a very wet year. But we're looking at having to reinvest in that old set of buildings. And there are really three structures there. So the question is, do we spend large amounts of money to rehabilitate those structures, or do we put that into new construction? And that'll be up to the council to take up that issue. We're a growing city, and it would be nice. It would be nice to be able to house the folks that I have. Finance has hired a new person, and we have actually converted a closet into an office. That's how tight we are for space in City Hall. So we do have some facility needs there. We're going to make do. We always will. But it would be nice not to have to, put somebody in a closet.
Well, and then touch on it, if you will, the interaction you're having with the school district, because they have the same sorts of challenges.
Sure. You're right. The growth needs are the same. What you see in the school district is reflected into the city. The school district did a study that showed that people are moving here not just for the university anymore. They're moving for the schools. They've come here. We've had a recent wave of people to staff up Scott and White Hospital, new hospital, great facility. But their study does show that A&M is still driving a large portion of that growth. There's no doubt about it. But people are moving here for other reasons. People have that mobility now where they can work in different places. They know College Station offers excellent education. Of course, everybody wants to invest in their children, and they're voting with their feet. They're moving to College Station, not necessarily the city, but the school district. And when they do that, they put they drive their cars on our roads. They impact our parks. They all of those things. So that growth that the school district is experiencing has impacts for us. You're exactly right.
And so where are we now? Because one of the things we talked about before when you were here, obviously your utility company by law has a certain area that they can cover. It cannot go beyond that.
Right.
Are you getting to the point where that's getting to the edges and you're going to miss some opportunities because you're going to be extending some city services but maybe not others?
We already have that, where we have water and sewer service in areas that is covered by BTU.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all kinds of different jurisdiction. We have a water area, sewer area, and electric service area. And there are areas within City of College Station that are covered by Welborn Water, rural water authorities. So we already have those overlapping jurisdictions. What we're seeing again is, and it relates to your earlier question about commercial, we're seeing people that are looking to get piece together different older pieces of property and redevelop them. So we're looking at an increase in perhaps power, sales to an area that used to be, well, I guess you could consider it, well, older or underdeveloped or whatever, redeveloping. So That's very interesting, where we're seeing the market change. The market area is not going to change, but the sales to individual properties or groups of properties are going to change because of redevelopment issues. So we monitor that very carefully, and we have to monitor our utilities with regard to growth because we can't be outstripped. We can't reach a point where we're not able to service any area within that. So our folks do a good job of that. We're not in danger of any of that, but we meet very regularly to talk about this.
And if we were going to define an area where College Station may be looking to annex, where would that be right now?
I, there have not been recent discussions about annexation beyond the city just annexed 232 acres at Greens Prairie Trail in rough proximity to Greens Prairie Trail and Wilburn Road. There was a large CSISD property down there that was annexed, and there was a request for annexation of 70 some odd acres there that drove that entire discussion. But there have not been discussions between me and my staff and between the council about annexing other areas. And a lot of that, quite frankly, has to do with where, you know, annexing areas where we can serve utilities and what have you. We need to be very careful about that. And you don't want to go out there and we do a financial analysis of that. We don't want to go out there and grab areas that are not going to pay their way or what have you, because that becomes a burden for everybody else that's in the city now. So we have to do that cost benefit analysis. And if we're going to do something, we need to be strategic about it.
Yeah, don't annex me. I don't want to be annexed. we try to stick with big issues when you hear. But is there anything that we haven't covered today that you'd like to address?
No, it's a very busy time in the city of College Station. And as you mentioned, you know, we deal a lot with those impacts. So when I talk about the city, I professionally, whether I'm talking to my counterparts at the University of Bryan or with the county or what have you, we talk a lot about those issues. And you say you don't want to sound negative. Well, there are certainly more good things happening than there are negative things. My job is to deal with those impacts. So, you know, I usually have sort of a serious tone about that. But there are a lot of terrific things happening. We have graduation coming up. My nephew's graduating Friday.
That's a new and different graduation this year. Going to be something a little different.
Yes,
out there.
Yes. Yeah. I end up spending a lot of time in Reed Arena watching other people's kids graduate. but that's terrific.
Yeah, it's
terrific.
Yeah.
My son's finished his freshman year.
Right.
And has done very well at A&M Galveston. Very proud of him. And I mentioned to you my other son, Tori, was in the state tennis tournament.
Yeah.
He took the court at 2:08 a.m. This morning.
Yeah, well, there you go.
He did not prevail. But
I appreciate you being here then. That's yeoman's duty. Yeah.
That's all right. I decided I would just slap myself and not go to sleep. Okay. I did anyway.
Okay. The good thing was we had it here. That could have ended up in Austin or someplace far away.
No, that's true. That's true. But the weather has just played havoc
with
those kinds of. We're happy to have that tournament here. There are 300 kids participating in that, and they're coming with one or two parents and coaches and what have you. So they were supposed to start at 8 a.m. They didn't take the courts, the first matches, until about 8 p.m.
Wow.
So it went late into the night and early into the morning.
Well, sorry it didn't work out, but a great, great experience is always for him. Right?
He made it to the state tournament as a sophomore. He made it as a freshman. I'm proud of him.
That's good. Very good. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Good to be here.
You bet. That's Kelly Templin. He's the city manager at College Station.